Marianne McCullough, Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll-free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Thank you, sweetheart, for that wonderful introduction. I know that folks like to know where we're going to be each week so they can join us whenever possible. So let me make our listeners aware that this coming Sunday morning, February the 5th at 11 a.m., I'll be preaching at the Davidson Baptist Church down on Highway 18 in West Point, Georgia, where Brother Howard Longshore is the pastor. So I invite you to come be with us there, 11 o'clock this coming Sunday, Davidson Baptist Church, West Point, Georgia. Then on February the 12th, I'll be preaching homecoming at the Mountville Baptist Church up in Mountville, Georgia at 11 o'clock. And then the 13th, 14th, and 15th, I'll be preaching revival at 7 o'clock. So you come on out and be with us there also. Now, this is where Brother Dwayne Perdue is the pastor, and we'd love for you to come be with us. And very quickly, I want to remind you to check out our revamped website, www.freshfireministries.com. I believe you'll enjoy it. All right, today you're going to hear a sermon I preached last week up at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church up in Franklin, Georgia. The sermon is entitled, The Importance of Staying When Everything in You Wants to Leave. Hope you get a blessing out of the message today.
The importance of staying when everything in you wants to leave. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've been praying and praying for God to deliver you out of that situation, only to discover that when a way of deliverance came, God said, stay. Tough, ain't it? Tough. Perhaps it was a ministry assignment. Perhaps it was a job. A thousand things it could be. It might have even been a sermon you was listening to me preach one time. Everything in you wanted to leave, and God said, nope, stay. I've been there myself. God said, oh no, you started this, you're going to finish it. Amen. In life, those situations come. Another question. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture perhaps 100 of times, only to reread it one day and say, wow, I never saw that? Well, lately I've found that happening quite a lot to me. In fact, that's the case with this Scripture tonight. When I prepared this sermon, I was reading that Scripture, and I began to see things. I said, wow, I never saw that. Paul and Silas had encountered the rich lady, Lydia, the seller of purple. And after that encounter, they were being harassed by a demon and a little girl who was a fortune teller. And they cast the demon out. Well, when they cast the demon out, that dried up the money stream for her master. And they then bring them, Paul and Silas, before the officials and who have them beaten and thrown in jail. And then at midnight, Paul and Silas have a prayer and praise meeting. The earthquake comes, you know this story, and all the cell doors fly open and the restraints fall off. The jailer comes running in, and due to the fact that if any of the prisoners had escaped, He would have had to fulfill their penalty. Probably they were under the penalty of death, so it would have cost him his life. That's the reason the Bible said he would have taken his own life. He knew that if it was going to be over one way or another if they had left. So Paul calls to him and tells him that they're all there and to do themselves no harm. He comes inquiring about salvation, and at that very moment, he and his family come to faith in Jesus Christ. Then the officials release Paul and Silas. Now, the part I've not really paid attention to in this story is found in verse 28. When Paul cried out to the jailer, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Nobody ran away. Now, while Paul and Silas and the redemption of the jailer and his family are indeed the focal point of this passage of Scripture in this story, not the prisoners, the presence of the prisoners is the key to the miracle that's about to happen. Now, if you were one of those prisoners, I don't think it would be a stretch of the imagination to believe that you've been praying for this day. Because you see, those prisons weren't like prisons today. They were filthy. There were no human rights. Paul and Silas were beaten before they were even put in the jail. There were no amenities like jails or prisons have today. And most likely you had spent all your waking hours and perhaps the majority of your sleeping hours scheming about and praying for a way to escape. Now it's come. Now the way of escape has come. And now you can't go. And I don't know if God sent an angel to keep them there or just simply changed their minds. But the fact is, they stayed put when everything in them, I believe, wanted to leave. But may I submit to you tonight, though, that real freedom is found in being in God's will, wherever that may be, wherever. Paul cried to the jailer, "We are all here." Now understand that the miracle that was about to happen was predicated on all of them staying in their place when they wanted to run. Now here's the question this sermon is built upon. What would make those prisoners stay when everything in them wanted to leave? Number one, when you hear something you're not accustomed to hearing, it'll cause you to stay. Verse 25 said, and I want you to catch this little part. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Now, what's the next little part of that 25th verse? "And the prisoners heard them." It's important that that's in there. Not so much important that Paul and Silas are singing and praying and having a prayer meeting. The important part is the prisoners heard them. They heard them. I believe these prisoners knew their condition, that Paul and Silas had been whipped and beaten black and blue, but maybe they'd seen others who had been beaten for the name of Christ. They heard something from Paul and Silas they had not heard from anybody else. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And then prisoners in that horrible situation, knowing that Paul and Silas are in the same situation, they've been beaten, they've been misused, and now at the midnight hour, they hear them singing praises unto God. Now maybe they said to themselves, "Them old boys ain't complaining like the rest of them do. They're not blaming everybody else for their condition. They're not cursing God." And they can't believe their ears that in the midst of those horrific circumstances, they hear them boys praising God. Now, the rubber starts to hit the road right about here. Do we do that? In the midst of our most trying times, does the world hear us praising Jesus? The Anabaptist. Now you say Anabaptist. What does that mean? It means, well, somebody that's against being a Baptist. No, that's not what it means. Anabaptist means a group that was against infant baptism. Long ago You had the big divide, the big war. I mean, folks were getting killed over it. It's whether or not infant baptism was legitimate or not to salvation. Of course, we know it's not. So the Anabaptists was the group that rose and said, no, this is not right. Everybody's got to be saved on their own accord, their own volition, before they go to heaven. You can't simply baptize them as a baby and then be saved. So actually, literally, wars erupted. And the other side would take and would put to death the Anabaptist. And they would burn them at the stake. But they devised, something was happening, though, that made them have to devise a device that is very horrific. It was a little mouth-type thing that would fit in their mouth, and it had a little cup thing in it where they would actually, it would hold a live coal off the fire. And they would put it in their mouth. Now, they're burning them at the stake. They're tied up and they're burning them to the stake. But now they've devised this device where they put a hot coal in their mouth. Now, here's the thing. Why did they do that? Did they were doing that so that they could inflict more pain upon somebody they were already burning at the stake? Nope. That's not the reason they had to do it. You know why they had to do it? To stop the Anabaptists from blessing and praying for the ones who were putting them to death. They would put the live coal on their tongue and it would cause it to swell to where they could not talk, because being burned at the stake, they were blessing and praying for those who were burning them at the stake and killing them. And like a bunch of Baptists, don't we? We do that, don't we? No, we do not do that. But listen, the church as we know it today is experiencing a mass exodus. And I'm not here to preach a gloom and doom sermon tonight, but let me tell you an absolute fact. The Southern Baptist Convention is a convention in decline. We have been for some time now. We're losing more than we're bringing in. It's just facts. And we're not the only dog named Rover running in this pack. Others are too. The tide, though, might be stemmed if those leaving begin to hear something from the church that they're not accustomed to hearing. The world doesn't need to hear how bad things are. They need to hear how good God is from us. Amen. They know how bad the world is. They know. Amen. But they need to hear from us how good God is. What would make these prisoners stay when everything within them wanted to go? Number one, when they heard something they weren't accustomed to hearing. Number two, when they experienced a manifestation of the power of God in a way they've never experienced it, it caused them to want to stay. Now I want you to catch something here. Maybe I'm not the only one that has a question or didn't see something I'm about to give you. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, I readily admit tonight that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I'm just proud to be in the drawer and in the box. Somebody say amen. But I hadn't fell off a roof yet, but I'll not stop there. I'll just move right on. But these old boys saw a manifestation of the power of God like they'd never seen it before. Now you go with me for a minute. In my mind, I can reconcile the earthquake. Nothing special about it. I got that. The earthquake game. I can reconcile the earthquake knocking the prison doors off their hinges. I got that. No problem. But now comes the part I have problem with. Back then, when they would put them old boys, the bands around their wrist and the stock or the metal things around their ankles, they didn't just put a little bolt or something on there. They didn't put a master lock on there. You know what they did? They would take a piece of metal and they would drive it through there, and then they would brad it on both ends. And the only way they could take them things off was they had to be cut off. They were secure in the stocks or in the bands. Now, here's where I don't get it. Here's where it loses everything. Here's where faith has to come in, and you see the power of God manifested in a way that you've never seen it before. I'm going to ask you, how does an earthquake cause a bratted band to come loose? It doesn't, except the power of God be in the midst of it. And you know what the world is crying out for today, and they need to see from us today, is a manifestation of the power of God like they've not witnessed it before. Amen. They see us going through the same things they go through. They know we're bound by the same things that they are bound. But bless God, when they see us being set free, when everything about us says you can't be free, when they see us walking in victory, when everything about us says you're supposed to be in defeat, when they see a smile on our face, when all the circumstances of our life says that we should be upset and crying and have gloom and doom on our face, but they see joy on our face and they hear joy coming from our lips and they see a manifestation of the power of God like they've never seen it before. You know what the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems in my opinion with the church is? We're no different from them. We're no different from them. And we're supposed to be. Bible says, come ye out from among them, what? And be a peculiar people. A little bit off center. A little weird. Why can we do that? Because of the manifestation of the power of God. Amen. Pretty good preaching for a Sunday night up in Hurd County, ain't it? Amen. What would make them do this? What would make them stay? Well, that's God when they see. You know what? I'm just going to put it in English. If I'm sitting in that jail cell like one of them prisoners might be, and I hear them old boys singing when I know they ought to be moaning the blues and they having a holy hoot nanny up there praying and praising God. And I'm sitting there in these stocks that's been bratted on or bracelets or whatever you want to call them, bands. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the earth begins to rumble and shake and my door goes flying off and I'm still hearing them praising. And all of a sudden I see my shackles just go pow and they come loose. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to see the end of this thing. This has got my attention. I probably used this here before again, but I won't tell it again. Kind of makes me think about that this is an Aaronism. There's no Bible really at all to this. Maybe a little bit, not much. But picture in your mind, they've put Jesus in the tomb. And it's coming up on the third day. And maybe there's one angel sitting on the tomb or top of it or something on the rock or whatever. And maybe another one comes flying up to him. He said, why don't you come on back up to heaven? Said, you finished down here. He said, no. Said, I'm not going anywhere. He said, why ain't you going anywhere? He said, son, you don't get it, do you? He said, look at him. All the forces of evil are about to encounter the master, the forces of good, and there's going to be a rumble like you ain't never seen before, and I got a ringside seat. I ain't going nowhere. Can't you hear Jesus looking at Satan and said, boy, let's get ready to rumble. And it was on. Got his attention. Amen. But what else would cause them to stay when they wanted to go? When you realize that somebody else's miracle may be dependent on you staying put. What was the real miracle? You know what? The real miracle was not the earthquake. The real miracle was not them boys getting set free. You know what the real miracle was? The salvation of the jailer and his family. Amen. Amen. And them old boys, I don't know how they knew it. Like I said, I don't know if God sent big angels, put it in their heart, but they knew. God somehow communicated to them, boys, I need every one of you to stay put, because you staying put is the key to the miracle that I want to work in that jailer's life. They'd stay put, because if one of them leaves, it's over with. I believe if we realize that today, there'd be a whole lot less people pulling the ripcord and leaving. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not going to go far down this road. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Y'all the ones who are here. There's too many folks in too many churches who are only concerned about what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? How can the church serve me? Would I offend you tonight if I told you that's a wrong attitude? It's a wrong question to be asking. The right question is, how can I serve God? And how can I serve others through my church? I'm staying. God, what do you want me to do? But too many times, I've experienced myself. Well, you don't have anything for young folks. We out of here. I'd go visiting with folks, and they say, what does your church have? What kind of youth program we got? I said, well, I want to tell them, if you'd come, we'd have one family. And we'd at least have something to build on. Amen? Amen? What kind of music program you have for my kids and for the older ones and whatever? Now, I know Pat Lippel might be telling me, hey, we got a jam up one. Amen? But I've had to tell them, if you come, we'd have somebody. You can minister. And they said, no, we're out of here. We're out of here. You followed me, aren't you? Not the right way to do it, because it ain't about us. Somebody's miracle may be dependent on us staying when everything in us wants to leave. Amen. You know what we need today? We need encouragers. We need cheerleaders. We need folks who will lift other folks up as they do the work. Their presence enabled Paul. Now I'm talking to prisoners, but I'm staying. Now I want you to catch this. Their presence enabled Paul to know what he could not know and see what he could not see. Did y'all catch what I just said? And I'm going to prove it biblically in just a moment. Their presence, through the power of God, enabled Paul to know what he could not know and see what he could not see. What happened when the jailer came running in? What does the Bible say? It said he called for a light. Why would the jailer call for a light? Because it was midnight. And I don't know much about the Holy Land, but I think it's just like America Land. At midnight, it's dark outside. Amen? They did not have electric lights back then. It was dark inside. The jailer called for the light. Here's an Aaronism. Here's something that'll just blow your socks off. Hey, if the jailer can't see, neither can Paul. Amen? But what's the first thing Paul told him? He said, do yourself no harm. Why? For we are all here. How'd Paul know that? He couldn't know that. Except the Spirit of God showed it to him. Amen? And he saw what he couldn't see. What did he see? He saw all the prisoners there. How did he do it? I don't know. For all I know, it could be like an old Superman, the old 1951 that come on TV, and he might have had x-ray vision. I don't know. But he saw them there, and he knew that they were there. And then what happened? The old jailer, he began to say, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas began to explain the plan of salvation to him. And the Bible said he and his family were saved that night, got their stripes washed, and got baptized that night. Now listen, what'll make you stay when everything in you wants to go? Three little things. When you hear something you're not accustomed to hearing. When you experience power of God like you're not used to seeing it. And when you realize that somebody else's miracle may depend on you. I want you to understand what we're seeing here. The prisoners stayed with no hope of their situation improving. Now let me just stop right there a minute. Nowhere in the Bible do I find where God said to them, boys, you stay in here and then I'll go your parole and I'll let you out. I don't find that happen. far as I know, they rearrested every one of them and hung the doors back up and put them back in stocks and carried out their sentence. What happened to them wasn't important. The focus of the miracle was what happened to the jailer and his family. What would make them do that? What I've told you. Now I'm going to close tonight with this. Sometimes we need to know that what we're doing is important. Baptists fail at that a lot. I fail at that a lot. Of telling those around me that what they're doing is important. You may not know tonight just how important it is that you're meeting here tonight. There may be somebody that's rode by 100 times and they're riding by the 101st time tonight and they see the lights on this little church on the hill. And they may say, someday I'm going to go. And someday may come sooner than later. And because you're here tonight with lights on, being a light on a hill, literally, it may bring somebody to Jesus. It may be somebody in the sound of my voice tonight. I've said something you needed to hear. You don't know. I said, well, nobody may come to the altar. Somebody may not do this. I mean, we don't know what somebody's doing in their own life. What God is telling them. How many of you in here have ever made a commitment to talk with God about something that you've never told anybody about? Just you and God. I've done it many times. Many times the preacher's been preaching and I say, ooh, Lord, you know that's hitting me. And God, I'm going to change my way. And I ain't going to tell my wife. I ain't telling my kids and I ain't telling you. You know what? Ain't none of y'all's business. Amen. It's between me and God. But sometimes we need to remind folks, what you're doing is important. It's important for God. As you all know, because I've been here so much, you all know that I'm a Star Trek fan. On Star Trek, The Next Generation, there's an episode where that Captain Picard, sitting on the bridge of the Enterprise, they encounter a probe. And all of a sudden, it zaps him in the chair. He falls on the floor and he's out, according to the storyline, for about 8 or 10 minutes. He's just knocked out. But then the whole story goes like this. It was an alien race whose sun went nova. And they've all been dead for 1,000 years. But they programmed this probe where in 8 minutes or whatever it was, he lived a whole lifetime with those people. He was married. He had children. He went through all, and the show is telling you all of this. But then at the end of it, they reveal what they are. And this is, boy, this is what got me on shouting ground with that. They look at him as it's all winding up, and they says, we just wanted someone to know we existed. We were real. You know what they were saying? They wanted someone to know their lives. Boy, ain't that good tonight. Sometimes we need to tell somebody you're making a difference for Jesus. You're making a difference. Stay. Don't cut. Don't run. Keep on doing for Jesus what you're doing.
Friend, this is Brother Aaron. It's my prayer that something you've heard on the broadcast today has spoken to your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a wonderful day to meet Him. Let me tell you, there's no magic words to pray. Just simply the best way you know how. Call on God in prayer and ask Him to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and Savior, and He'll do that. Perhaps you know Him as your Savior but haven't been living for Him. Then again, there's no magic words. Just the best way you know how. From the very bottom of your heart, call out to the Lord and ask Him to restore to you the joy of His salvation in your life. And my friend, I promise you, if you'll do that in faith, either one, He'll be faithful to come into your heart and life and restore life to you.
We would love to have the opportunity to stand with you in prayer. So give us a call at 706-302-9162 or 1-800-511-9536
and tell us if you prayed either one of those prayers. And also, visit us on the web, www.freshfireministries.com.
All right. Hope to see you next week right here. Bye-bye.